Amen.
I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we look up to him this evening for blessings that we expect to come from him in the year 2014. Let us do so with faith. And this evening, as we think of the year 2013, of what we did or did not do for him, let us be very honest with ourselves and then make this resolution that for the year 2014 and in the years beyond, we will want to serve him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And before the message, I propose that we sing this song, a very, very meaningful song, number 533, "The Sands of Time Are Sinking." 533. 533. Tonight I speak on this subject before it is too late to do what? Too late to remember him. Now I ask you a very silly question. Can you remember your name? You say, of course I can remember my name. But dear friends, there will come a time in your life when you might not be able to remember your name. You will be afflicted with perhaps dementia, Alzheimer's, and you will not be able to remember your name. Our sister Maribel works voluntarily in the nursing home, and she told us that on the door of every of the residents of the room of every of the residents hangs a picture of the resident, because some of the residents really can't remember their names. They don't know their names. They can only recognize the picture and identify that room as his or hers. My dear friends, the truth is, one day we may not be able even to remember our name. But you say, but I'm so young now. That stage of my life is going to be years ahead. Yes, I don't have to worry about that stage of my life. But the truth is, we get old faster than we dare to believe that we get old. Now today, you look into the mirror, and you may not be able to perceive the changes that are taking place on your face, because the changes are so gradual, not perceptible. But dear friends, people around you will give you the signal that you are growing old. Yes, and you will be awakened by the truth that you are growing old by what? By your aches and your pains. And then you tire so easily, and then you don't recover easily. When you get sick, you don't recover easily. Then, as I said, people give you the signal that you are growing old. In Singapore, you know, the signal is very, very clear. Yes, I remember some years ago, I was in the bus or in the MRT, I can't remember, and somebody said, Uncle, sit down. I knew I was getting old. And then our brother Eric, a few days ago, told us laughingly about the signal given to him of his age by his son, Ryan. One day Ryan came back from school, and he was in high school at that time, and he said, Daddy, you be very careful when you go to Hornsby Station, because the old people there are being beaten up. Now, what was the message? The message was not the danger of going to Hornsby Station. The message was the son saw the father as being old. That was the message. Yes. There will come a time, my dear friends, that we will not be able to remember things even though we want to remember. We might not even remember our name, perhaps much less our Creator. We age very quickly, and that's the truth, my dear friends. Time flies. Now, you children, time seems to be creeping on, right, children? Every day seems to be so long, you know, especially when you're waiting for your school holidays to come. So long. When is school holiday going to come? And then, young people, time is not creeping on for you. Now, as far as you are concerned, time marches on. It's not creeping, it marches on. And before you know it, you're married. And before you know it, you have children. And before you know it, you have grown-up children. And surely all of us are getting on in years. We are growing old. Now, what happens to all of us is this. And the great poet says it very, very clearly and very picturesly. He said this, all the world is a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and they have their entrances. Yes. So, my dear friends, having such a short time on this earth, what ought we to be doing? What ought we to be doing? The wisest man that ever lived, apart from, of course, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, King Solomon said this, remember, Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Yes, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. We must have our priorities right. The number one thing that we must do, my dear friends, is to remember our Creator. That is our priority. Did you realize that, friends? Yes, we must remember our Creator. Now, although this command is given to young people, my dear friends, it is very vitally important that we all realize that this command is given to all of us. Yes, not just to young people, but to all of us. Remember now thy Creator. It is not a case of when I was young, I ought to be remembering my Creator, and now I'm old, I don't have to remember him. In fact, my dear friends, the older we become, the more we ought to be remembering him. Now, this message is addressed particularly to those who think that they will never grow old. Yes, and also to those who think that, or to those who think that old age is something that is very, very distant, far, far away. My dear friends, this message is for all of us, not just to young people. And when are we to remember him? When? Not just yesterday, not some weeks ago, not some months ago, not some years ago. Yes, it is true. Some years ago, or some days ago, or some weeks ago, we did remember him. When we came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we heard the message, and we so joyfully came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. We were so filled with thanksgiving when we first came to trust him as our Lord and Savior. We remembered him and we remembered him. We are full of so thanksgiving unto him. Yes, we thank him for his goodness, we thank him for his mercies, we thank him for his kindness, we thank him for salvation so rich and free in Jesus. But what about today? What about today? Yes, yesterday you did put your hand on the plow, like a diligent farmer who puts his hands on the plow, and you were looking steadfastly at the Lord Jesus Christ as you labor on, as you do your Christian walk. You were looking steadfastly at the one true living God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. But now, today, we might be turning back, looking back from where we came from, looking back into the world. Yes, there might be a desire to go back to the world, today perhaps. But friends, that must never be the case. For the Lord Jesus Christ says this, and this is a warning to all of us. He says in Luke 9:62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So you say, I'm saved. Yes, are you really, my dear friends? Are you really saved? Yes. Now, if you have this desire of looking back and going back to the world, then you have to ask yourself whether or not you are really saved. Because if you are truly saved, you will not want to go back. You will want to look steadfastly at this Savior of ours. You want to remember him every day. Or you could be one who up till now did not care to remember him. Now we do not know your heart. Actually, nobody knows your heart except you yourself and the Lord. Yes, I do not know. Maybe you are one of those who actually didn't care to remember him. And in fact, you chose not to remember him. Even though you were reminded time and again to remember him, you chose not to remember him. But friends, tonight is a special night. Tonight is New Year's Eve. Yes, soon, in a few hours' time, it will be 2014, a very, very special night. Now, it is surely a time of reflection. That's why you are here, a time of reflection. And now, as you think of the year that has just gone by, or the time that you spent in the past, it might have been wasted time. It might have been wasted time because you didn't care to remember the Creator. No, you didn't care. Well, friends, tonight, as you reflect on the fact that you have wasted your time in time past, and you are in this mode of thinking, I say you are in a good mode. Yeah, really in a good mood. Now, if you are in such a mood, then tell yourself, I do not want to waste my time anymore. No, I do not want to waste my time anymore. And no, I know that regretting what I did or didn't do is not going to change anything. Now, my dear friends, I urge you, if you are in that mood tonight, come and remember him. And there is only one way to remember him correctly. And that way is for you to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Yes, recognize that he died for you on the cross of Calvary. Shed his precious blood for him and receive him into your heart. Begin to remember him that way. And that's the right way to remember him. Now, if you do not believe on him, and you try remembering him, my dear friends, your trying to remember him will be something very futile. In fact, you will discover to your horror that God is not your friend. God is your enemy because you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Colossians 1:21 says, "And you that were sometime alienated," in other words, you were sometime a foreigner, "and enemies in your mind by your wicked works." Now, if you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior yet, you are in fact in that sometime alienated, and enemies in your mind by wicked works. You are still an enemy of God. But friends, tonight, if you were to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and if you truly repent from your sins, you will find that this Creator of yours, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is not only your Savior, but he is also your friend. Yes, not only your Savior, but your friend, if you begin to remember him in the correct way. And as we said, the right way is to trust in him as Lord and Savior. So, if you haven't done it before, tonight, why don't you come sincerely and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Trust that he shed his precious blood for you. Trust that he died for you on the cross of Calvary. Trust that he was buried for you. Trust that he rose up from the dead for you. Trust that he's going to come back for you. Yes, and then begin your remembering him by repenting from your sins. You need to turn away from your sins, and you need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Only then your remembering of him will be acceptable unto him. And only then will you become a child of God, and only then will you be saved from eternal hell and eternal damnation. But you might say, "No, I wait until tomorrow. I wait until tomorrow, then I'll remember him." My dear friends, don't wait until tomorrow. Yes, you say tomorrow is a very, very special day because tomorrow is New Year's Day. It is going to be a very memorable day. Let me remember him big starting tomorrow. But what does God say? He says, remember when? Now. Remember now thy Creator. Now, not any other day. It is not tomorrow. You see, if you say, "I remember him tomorrow," when tomorrow becomes today, you know what's going to happen? You're going to say, "Ah, I remember him tomorrow." And when tomorrow becomes today, you're going to say again, "I remember him tomorrow." You keep procrastinating. But friends, that's not what the Lord wants us to do. God says, remember now thy Creator, not any other time, but now. The truth is, some people never get to see tomorrow. What if the Creator tonight were to say to you, "Thou fool, tonight thy soul is required of you"? My dear friends, it will be too late for you to try to remember him. Because, my dear friends, when he calls, you have no choice but to answer. Yes, whether you like it or not, you have to answer. And friends, your soul has to return to him, and your soul will go either to heaven or to hell. Yes, no other way. No other destination, either heaven or hell, and when he calls, you have to answer. Now, the next question is, whom are we to remember? Now, people remember what? They remember things, they remember events, they remember people, they remember places. Some people remember their cars. I remember years ago, this friend of ours, his wife said that he remembered his cars more than he remembered her. This man owned several cars, and he spent a lot of time polishing his car. So his wife said he remembered his cars more than he remembers his cars more than he remembers me. Then there are some people who remember what? They remember their houses. Yes, they never stop doing up their house. They remember their house all the time. And then some people remember their sports. Some people remember their golf. Sunday is golf time. Sunday is not time for God. My dear friends, if we keep remembering all these things, all this event, all these people in that way, all these things, all these people, all these events are going to become your God. We are not to remember them in this manner. The only person that we are to remember all the time is none other than the one true living God, our Creator. We must give Him our whole heart in remembering Him. We must remember Him and Him only, because someday our soul has to return to Him, as we said earlier on. And so we read in Ecclesiastes 12:7. Please turn to Ecclesiastes 12:7. Yes, and let's read that verse together. Let's read that verse together. Go. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Dust to dust. We are made of dust. One day this body will return to dust. It will return to the earth. And ultimately, my dear friends, it is the Creator that matters. He is the one with whom we have to do. The soul does not go to sleep. Some people teach that the soul goes to sleep. The soul does not go to sleep. There's no such thing as soul sleep. When the soul leaves the body, the soul goes either to heaven or to hell. And the soul does not disintegrate, as the Jehovah's Witnesses like to believe. The soul disintegrates and the soul becomes nothing. No, my dear friends, the soul returns to Him. It goes either to heaven or to hell. And whether you like it or not, you have to deal with Him. Yes, we must remember Him and Him only, because after death, there is going to be a judgment. The Word of God says it very, very clearly in Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Yes, there is going to be a judgment. And our Creator is going to be the judge. The last verse of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the verse that we read, you look at it. All right, let's read that verse together. Let's read it. Go. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Yes, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it is good, whether it is bad, or whether it is evil. We cannot pull wool over the eyes of this judge, the one true living God, because He's all-knowing. We cannot hide anything from Him. He will bring everything into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. But here, in a country like Australia or America, people can get away with blue murder. They just have to hire a very, very able lawyer and have the means to pay for the service of that lawyer. The lawyer can argue his case very, very well, and that person might very well go scot-free or could have a reduced sentence. Yes, the lawyer is able to argue to the extent that he creates a reasonable doubt in the minds of the jury and the minds of the judge. And then the accused can go free, or, as we said, receive a reduced sentence. But friends, nothing can escape the knowledge of this one true living God. Why? Because He's all-knowing. Yes, His eyes are all-seeing. Every secret thing is no secret to Him. He knows everything. Whether it is good, whether it is bad, He knows. Yes, and all of us believers will have to go through a judgment. You all learned this at the recent retreat, right? We shall all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You learn it. All of us. My dear friends, don't just register it in the head and say, yeah, we all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But my dear friends, let us understand that we really, really have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Yes, and when Paul thought about this, standing before the judgment seat of Christ, do you think that he was very, very confident that he will be very, very all right when he stands before the judgment seat of Christ? No, my dear friends, even the great Apostle Paul trembled at the thought of standing before the judgment seat of Christ, a man so faithful like him. my dear friends, all of us shall have to stand before that judgment. For the word of God says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Now, of course, we believers will not be condemned. We will not lose our salvation when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will all be judged as servants. Yes, we will all be judged as servants. And the test of our whether or not we will end up with favor in the eyes of the one true living God is whether or not we have been faithful or not. What have we done, my dear friends, with the talents that he has given to us? Time is one of the talents that he has given to us. And tonight, since we are talking about time, I talk a little bit about time. Now, how do we spend our time, my dear friends? How do we make use of this talent? What percentage of our time, of our lives, do you think we spend sleeping? It's very easy to calculate. 24 hours per day. So if you spend something like 8 hours per day sleeping, you spend how many percent of your life sleeping? How many percent? About 30%. Yes, 30%. And how much of your time do you spend dressing up and spend that time for personal care also? How much time, my dear friends? Do a quick calculation. About 8 to 10%. Isn't it true? You calculate. About 2 hours, maybe, for some people. About 8%. How much time do we spend eating? Also about that. Some people spend more time than that because they like to eat. And then how much time do we spend traveling? All right, we travel to work, back from work, to school, back from school, and so forth. And travel for business and so forth. Maybe 8 to 10% of our time is spent traveling. But friends, ask ourselves this question. How much time do we spend in quiet with the Lord? How much time? Now, if you spend, or if we spend half an hour of our day in quiet time with the Lord, you know that constitutes how many percent? 1%? No, my dear friends, less than 1%. Yes, that's how much time we spend in our quiet time with the Lord. How disproportionately small that amount of time we spend with the Lord. And how much time do we spend worshiping the one true living God? How much time? You calculate, you add in your quiet time, Sunday worship, and so forth. Maybe 1 to 3%. That's all, my dear friends. So you see, we spend such a small amount of time with the one true living God, worshiping Him, and so much time sleeping, so much time eating. Now, is that the right way we should be spending our time? Think about it, friends. The Word of God says that we must spend our life as a worship unto the Lord, as a reasonable service unto Him. Yes, in all the things that we do, whether it be at our work desk, whether it be in our office, whether it be in our clinic, and so on and so forth, my dear friends, we are to spend our life as a worship unto the Lord. That is how we should be spending our time. Yes, we must spend our time glorifying His holy name. Now, what about other talents that the Lord has given to us? He has given us the ability to think, the ability to work, the ability to organize. He has given us youthful energy. He has given us money. He has given us wealth. Can we say honestly this evening and that we have been making use of our talents for the glory of the Lord? And if we haven't been doing that, can we say this evening, Lord, I'm very, very willing in the year 2014 to give you all the talents that you have given me. My dear friends, the talents given us are not ours. We are stewards of the talents that He has given to us. Let us make use of our talents for His glory. Use our talents for His glory. And we say, but Lord, I have no time. Lord, no time for you. No time for God. Yes, I'm so busy. No time for God. Now let me read you this little poem which I read some years ago to you. Maybe on watch night, service night. I can't remember. Yeah, possibly. Yes. No time for God. What fools we are to clutter up and leave outside heart's gate the Lord of life and life itself. Yes, we leave him outside of our heart's gate. What fools we are. Yes, no time for God. As soon to say, no time to eat or sleep or love or die. Yes, do we have time to eat? Do we have time to sleep? Do we have time to love? Do we have time to die? Of course we have. Then how can we say we have no time for God? Take time for God, or you will dwarf your soul. And when the angel of death comes knocking at your door, a poor misshapen thing you will be to step into eternity. No time for God? Someday you'll lay aside this mortal self and make your way to worlds unknown. And when you meet him face to face, should he have time for you? Should he? If we don't have time for him now, should he have time for us when we see him face to face? What's the answer, my dear friends? Of course not. Yes, of course not. So let us give him our time. He has given us time. Let us give him our time. Yes, this is the Creator before whom we have stand. And his judgment is absolutely certain. It will definitely come. Now, what about unbelievers? I do not know your heart, as I said. Yes, you come to church every Lord's Day. You know your heart. The Lord knows your heart. Unbelievers, my dear friends, will not be standing before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is the judgment before which believers will stand. But unbelievers will not be standing before the judgment seat of Christ. But rather, my dear friends, unbelievers will have to stand before the great white throne of God. And that judgment, my dear friends, before that judgment, you will definitely be found guilty. Guilty of what? Guilty of being a sinner, my dear friends. Guilty of being a sinner. Yes, and then you will be condemned for all eternity. You will be cast into the lake of fire. He will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, which commandments have you not broken, or have we not broken? You might say, I've never killed. All right, you've never killed. I've never cheated, or I've never cheated in a big way. I've never womanized. I've always observed the golden rule. I would do unto others as I would others do unto me. But God is going to say to you, so you think you're righteous. But your righteousnesses are as filthy rags in my sight. God is saying this to you. He just has to ask you several questions. He just has to ask you, did you remember me while you were on earth? You know what your answer is going to be? Your answer is going to be, yes. Yes, Lord, I did remember you. But he's going to ask you further, did you remember me with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength? Are we going to pass or are we going to fail? Friends, we'll fail. Then he's going to ask you, did you love your neighbor as yourself? You say, oh Lord, yes, I did love my neighbor. But did you love your neighbor as yourself? The answer is no. I love my neighbor, but I did not love my neighbor as myself. So, my dear friends, if you are an unbeliever, you definitely will be found guilty before the one true living God. And you'll be condemned, cast into the lake of fire, where you will be tormented day and night for all eternity. I didn't invent those words, my dear friends. These words are found in the book of Revelation. The young people can tell you that. They studied those words in their recent retreat. Now, this Creator of ours, whom we must remember, is the one with whom we have to do. The one we have to give an account to. Is the all-knowing supreme judge. He will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good, whether it be evil. So, my dear friends, we must remember him. We must. If we don't care to remember him, and we shut him out of our minds, shut him out of our hearts, we are simply making it impossible for God to remember us favorably on the day when we stand before him. So friends, why must we remember him? Why must he remember him now? I've answered this question somewhat already. Our life is so short, we must remember him. Yes, because if we don't, it might be just too late for us to remember him. But for this segment of my message, I'm going to address particularly the young people. But friends, let's take note, this message is also for all of us, but particularly to the young people. Now you hear the words of the inspired writer, King Solomon. Now he was a man who's seen it all, tasted it all, enjoyed it all. Women, he had a plenty. The word of God says that he had 700 wives, all of them princesses, and 300 concubines. And he had live shows. You read the book of Ecclesiastes, you will know that he had live shows, live orchestras, live this, live that, and then he lived in a very, very luxurious, opulent palace. And he had beautiful gardens, beautiful orchards, some of which, or many of which, he designed himself. And then he had fleets of chariots. Now, if there were limousines in ancient times during his time, I'm sure he would have fleets of limousines. Now, if there were jet planes in those days, I'm sure he would have a fleet of jet planes, private jet planes. And his plane, I'm sure, would be far, far better than the plane that President Obama rides in, travels in, Air Force One. He would be better than Air Force One. And the Queen of Sheba, who visited his kingdom, the kingdom of King Solomon, because she heard of the glory of his kingdom, had this to say when she actually saw the kingdom of King Solomon. She said, "The glory of your kingdom," she said, "the half of the glory of your kingdom has not been told me." In other words, what she saw, yes, was more than double what she was told. What she was told was less than half what she actually saw. Now, this book was probably written by King Solomon at the close of his life. Yes, he said these words, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." He must have seen how rapidly old age came, and he saw that when he was old, he could not do the things when he was young. There must have regrets upon regrets in his mind, in his heart. He must have thought to himself, how I wish I'd done this thing, or how I wish I didn't do this thing. And most of all, how I wish I had remembered the Creator much, much better. Now, young people, let me turn a page of your life journey for you to let you look into the future. The time of old age. Alright, the time of old age. Now look at verse 1 again. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." The days ahead of you, my dear friends, will be evil days. Now, not evil in the sense that you will be guilty of evil, not evil in the sense that you will be surrounded by evil people or evil events. But friends, they will be evil days in the sense that you will not be able to do those things which you were able to do when you were young. Yes, you will be afflicted with infirmities, you will be afflicted with sicknesses. Those days will be but labor and sorrow. You will not be able to be independent. You've got to depend on other people to do things for you. How could you have pleasure in those days? You can't. Now, if you want to have a sense of what those days might be, you just have to go to a nursing home. I think we visited such a home when we did our caroling this year. Yes, what kind of people did we see? My dear friends, they were all very, very dependent. They had to be wheeled into the room on wheelchairs. Some were bedridden. And then I remember seeing this lady trying to walk. She was actually not walking. She was shuffling. And the distance of a shuffling could be measured by what? Not centimeters, millimeters. Very, she had to shuffle in that manner. My dear friends, that is what you are going to be like in the future. You believe that? You say, no, can't be. But friends, it will be. Yes, you cannot say it can't be. It will be. Yes, while the evil days come not.
While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Remember him before those evil days come. The time will come when sunlight, moonlight will all appear to be very dim to you. Yes, your eyesight will fail you, and the sky will always appear to be very dark. Now, normally after a rainfall, the clouds would have disappeared. You see blue sky. But friends, when you are old, it will appear every day is not a cloudless day. Every day is filled with clouds. It is like after the rain, another set of clouds appear. It's going to be like that when you grow old. And then verse 3. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves. In the day when the keepers of the house, the head will tremble, the hands will tremble. Things that were very, very easy for you to do when you were young, now you find them very difficult to do. I give a very simple example, such as inserting a key into a keyhole. You think it's very easy to do? You think it's very difficult to do? My dear friends, not so easy. When you were young, yes. You take out your keys, the key goes in. Now for me, I can tell you that it's not that easy. First of all, I don't see very well. I have to fumble around. I have to make at least 5 or 6 attempts before I can insert the key into the keyhole. Yes, it's already happened to me. And it's going to happen to you, my dear friends. You think it won't happen? It will happen to you. And the grinders cease. Verse 3 again. And the grinders cease because they are few. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. The grinders. What are grinders? Your teeth, of course. Your grinders will be few. And those that look out of the windows will be darkened. What are those that look out of the windows? What do you think? Your eyes, of course. Yes, your eyes will be darkened. Your teeth would have fallen out. Your eyes will be darkened. They say, it can't be, it can't be. My dear friends, it can be and it will be. I'm already experiencing that. Yes, yes, you see things not as bright as before. They are dark, they are dim. Yes, and that's true, friends. And verse 4, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. Yes, the doors shall be shut in the streets. I suppose this will refer to the mouth. Yes, when the sound of the grinding is low. The sound of the grinding is low, you can't hear the sound of the grinding of the teeth because the mouth is shut. The mouth is not open to speak. Now I remember this great man, Nelson Mandela. When he was much younger, when he was first released from prison, and when he made his public speeches campaigning to be the first president of South Africa. What an eloquent man he was. When he spoke, everybody had to pay attention to him when he spoke. And he's true, very, very eloquent. But about 2 years ago, when he made his last few public appearances, he was really a pale, pale image of himself. He looked very dazed. He looked as if he didn't know what was happening around him. Could you ask him to speak? Maybe he could. But if he spoke, he will be maybe 1% or 5% as eloquent as he was before. He could not be as eloquent. Yes. My dear friends, when you grow old, that is going to happen. Yes, you are not going to open your mouth to speak eloquently. You are not going to open your mouth to eat a lot because you have no appetite to eat. Yes. And then carry on verse 4, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Old people wake up very, very early. They might not be able to hear the birds chirping, but before the birds can chirp in the morning, they would already have awakened. And the daughters of music shall be brought low. They will be hard of hearing. Even there is good music played by young ladies, they will not be able to hear the music. Yes, that's going to happen, my dear friends, when that page that I'm talking about is turned and you see yourself, you'll be seeing yourself in that condition. And verse 5, and when they shall be afraid of that which is high and fierce shall be in the way. When you grow old, you become very fearful of heights. You don't believe me? Yes, I'm experiencing it. Years ago, I had no problem climbing up a ladder, no problem at all. But this last few months or earlier this year, when I was trying to change the bulbs in the house, I said, wow, this ladder appears to be very high. You know, I appear to be standing very high. But actually, I counted, it's only about 3 rungs up the ladder. So low, and I thought it was so high. I was fearful of height. Yes, but not when I was much younger. And then the almond trees shall flourish. The almond tree is a tree that flowers early compared to other trees in that season. In other words, very, very soon. Yes, old people will have gray hair, white hair, or no hair like me. Yes. And the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail because man goeth to his long home and the mourners go about the streets. Even an object as light as a grasshopper can appear to be very, very heavy, and desire shall fail. In other words, the sexual desire of old people will be no more. Yes, there will be no desire for their sexual desire to be fulfilled. And then he goes to his long home. He passes on. He goes to his long home. He goes to his eternal home. It could be either heaven or hell. And he's going to be there eternally. That's the long home that he'll be going to. And verse 6. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Yes, or ever the silver cord is broken. Now this is a very graphic way to talk about death. The silver cord is the imaginary cord that ties the soul to the body. When the person dies, the silver cord is loosened and the soul separates from the body. And then the golden bowl. Yes, the golden bowl contains the water of life, as it were. When a person dies, that golden bowl is broken and the water of life flows out. And life is gone. And the wheel that draws water up from the well is broken. Death is like that. The mechanism, which is the wheel here, that draws water from the well, will be broken. And when that wheel is broken, what happens to the pitcher that is tied to the wheel? The pitcher will fall down into the well, and that pitcher will be shattered. And then the person dies. Yes, that is a graphic way of looking at death. And verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. That is the final chapter of your life on this earth. But your spirit, my dear friends, goes to its eternal home, either heaven or hell. Now this is a very, very grim picture of life, isn't it true? Yes, we better realize that this is the real picture of life, and this is real. It is real. We must therefore what? Remember the Creator when? Now. Remember Him now. To the young, remember Him now in the days of your youth. To the older ones, remember Him now also. Because, you know why? Today you are actually one day younger than you will be tomorrow. So remember Him when you are still young. Yes, one day younger than you will be tomorrow. Remember Him now. Remember Him now because time flies. If you have never remembered Him before, earnestly, why don't you make this decision this evening and say, Lord, I want to remember You. I seriously want to remember You. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Cleanse me of all my sins. I want to repent from my sins. And then if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have never, never seriously remembered Him before, why do you make this resolution this evening? You say, Lord, as of tonight, New Year's Eve 2013, I want to remember You. Yes, Lord, I want to remember You. I want to give my whole heart to You to remember You. Don't procrastinate. Make this resolution this evening. The one we are to remember is our Creator, the Supreme Judge, before whom all of us shall have to give an account if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are an unbeliever, you shall have to stand before the great white throne of God, and you will be found guilty as a sinner, because this God of ours is going to bring every work into judgment with every secret, whether it be good, whether it be evil. Nothing and nothing can escape his attention. Yes, remember him now, before you grow old. Remember him now, and you earnestly remember him. When you grow old, there will be no regrets. One day you're going to look back with thanksgiving, and like the great Apostle Paul, you know what you're going to say? I'd like us to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. Okay, let's read this verse, two verses together, and slowly. All right, 2 Timothy 4, 7 to 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. My dear friends, if we remember him now, as of now, and remember him every day, this is what we will be able to say one day when we come to the end of our life. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto them, unto all them also who love his appearing. And then when the silver cord breaks, we'll go home very, very gladly, because we know that we are going into the arms of our loving Savior, and we are going to hear him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of life. We thank you for these precious truths that we've heard this evening from the book of Ecclesiastes. Lord, these words are written not for nothing, but to teach us precious lessons of life. We pray, O Lord God, that this evening, as we come to the last hours of the year, we may be very minded to remember you all the time in the year 2014 and in the years beyond, until we come to the end of our life on this earth. O Lord God, we pray that you will be very gracious to us. Help us, O Lord God, that we may have this holy discipline, this holy desire to remember you all the time. Lord, grant us that very special grace, we pray thee. And we pray for those who might not have known you as Lord and Savior, who have deceived themselves into thinking that they have known you. We pray that you will speak to their hearts. Cause them, O Lord God, to truly remember you as of this evening. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks.